was far from certain. In the previous 6 months, the Luftwaffe had killed tens of thousands of Britons in its attacks on London and other British cities. British armed forces, which lacked adequate arms and ammunition, were on the defensive everywhere. German submarines were operating at will in the Atlantic, sinking vast amounts of merchant shipping and slowly strangling British supply lines. Starvation for the civilian population loomed as a distinct possibility, as did a cross-channel invasion by Germany. "We were hanging on by our eyelids," recalled Field Marshal Lord Allenbrooke, Britain's top military leader during the war. Wynant himself would later write, "There were many times when one felt the sands would run out, and it all would be over." As the British well knew, their only hope for salvation lay in American help. Yet that aid had been miserly thus far, even as Britain's future grew increasingly bleak. Many in Washington had already written the country off. How could this little island, no matter how glorious its military past, resist an invader that had toppled every country in its path like so many duck pins? Among those who believed in Britain's inevitable defeat was Joseph P. Kennedy, Wynant's predecessor as U.S. ambassador, who, along with several thousand other American residents of Britain, fled to the United States at the